Back in March, something happened that we on The Indicator had been saying could happen ever since we launched the show about a year and a half ago. The yield curve inverted.
The yield curve.
Try to contain your excitement.
That's true. So when we say the yield curve inverted, what we mean is that the long-term interest rates paid by U.S. government bonds or treasuries are lower than the interest rates paid by short-term U.S. government bonds. And for the past six decades, whenever that has happened, whenever the yield curve has inverted, it has been a sign that the country will go into a recession within about a year or two.
Now, if you're a new listener, you might not know that I am totally fascinated. Stacey would say obsessed.
I was going to say fascinated. Okay, sure.
Wouldn't
we'll go
necessarily
with
be wrong. By the yield curve, not because it is a perfect
Talks
predictor.
Talks about it all the time, constantly.
Occasionally. And not because it's a perfect predictor of a recession. There is no such thing. But just because the yield curve has such a great track record as a recession forecaster. And also because there are interesting questions and even doubts about whether that streak of perfect recession forecasting is going to continue.
Would you say that the yield curve is practically perfect in every way?
I would not say that. I have been careful not to say that.
I know. But, you know, a lot of listeners have emailed us, specifically you, Cardiff, with a bunch of questions about the yield curve because you are so fascinated by it. And today on The Indicator from Planet Money, we are going to answer them. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
You're Sassy Vanek-Smith is what you are. And I'm Cardiff Garcia.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Those questions that our listeners sent us were all really smart, but in some cases, those questions were also asked with just as much sass and sarcasm as Stacey's given me right now.
Oh, there's so much more
I
where that
know
came
there
from.
Is.
Brace yourself, Cardiff.
So to channel that spirit of inquisitive sarcasm, we are going to paraphrase our listeners' questions and have them read aloud by producer Darius Rafian, who just has a phenomenal sarcastic voice.
That's true.
Jeez, Cardiff, don't cry about it.
That's him, and after the break, sarcastic questions, and our answers.
Support for NPR and the following message come from ExxonMobil, the company that believes affordable, scalable carbon capture is critical to reducing industrial CO2 emissions, and more experts agree. Learn more at energyfactor.com. Support also comes from Microsoft. Snow leopards are very difficult to find. Researchers use Microsoft AI to analyze thousands of remote camera images in minutes so they can find and study them more efficiently. More at Microsoft.com/AI.
Okay, for this episode, if you want a primer on the basics of the yield curve, we're actually going to encourage new listeners to go back and listen to our earlier episodes about it. But here's what you need to know for now. The yield curve shows the interest rates that are paid by the different kinds of U.S. treasuries. So there's a 3-month treasury, a 1-year treasury, a 5-year treasury, and so on. And for example, if you buy a 5-year treasury, then at the end of 5 years, you get your money back, plus you get paid some interest on your money.
And when the economy is expected to do well, longer-term treasuries should pay a higher interest rate than shorter-term treasuries. So the 5-year treasury should pay an interest rate that is higher than the 3-month treasury. And this makes sense, right? Because if you buy a 5-year treasury, you have to wait 5 years to get your money back. Your money is locked in the treasury. So you'd expect to be paid a higher interest rate than if you only had to wait 3 months to get your money back.
But when the economy is not expected to do well, the yield curve can invert. And all that means is that longer-term treasuries start paying lower interest rates than short-term treasuries because something is off. And the reason is that long-term interest rates tend to fall when investors expect slower economic growth in the future. And in fact, every time the yield curve is inverted over the past six decades, a recession has shortly followed. That's happened 7 times throughout those decades. And the yield curve, it's inverted now. So if it happens again, it would be the 8th straight time. With all that said, sarcastic Darius, what is your first question?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the yield curve inverted way back in March. So is there a reason you've waited until now to do a show about it?
Okay, fair point.
Oh, good question.
Snap. Here's the thing. The first scholar to discover the link between the inversion of the yield curve and recessions is named Campbell Harvey of Duke University. And according to his research, in the past, the recession forecast has been triggered only when the yield curve has been inverted for a full quarter, and specifically a calendar quarter, which means the same quarters of the year that we follow for other economic indicators. So the first quarter is the first 3 months of the year, the second quarter is the next 3 months, and so forth.
So we had to wait for the yield curve to invert for a full quarter. That happened on June 30th. That was a couple of weeks ago. And I guess, Cardiff, you just procrastinated until now?
Yeah.
I've been collecting those questions, baby. So the yield curve has been inverted throughout the whole second quarter and a couple of weeks. Specifically, the three-month Treasury has been paying a higher interest rate than the five-year Treasury.
Oh, so some economist, like, ensconced in his ivory tower just chose a calendar quarter, like, out of his hat? Isn't that, like, kind of arbitrary?
Finance scholar. But yeah.
I feel like this is an excellent point that Sarcastic Darius is making, Cardiff. Do you have a response?
Yeah, it is kind of arbitrary. But the reason to wait for the yield curve to be inverted for 3 months is that if the yield curve only inverts for a few hours or for a few days, that does not signal that a recession is coming. The inversion has to last. Again, we are following Campbell Harvey's research here. He chose 3 months of inversion to study, so we are following that as a guide.
So you are now saying that there is definitely going to be a recession in the next year. I can quote you on this, right? There's a recession coming?
Wow. Okay. Well, this got real really fast. Okay. maybe not. Actually, so here is something that you might not know. From the time the yield curve first inverts, it has taken an average of slightly more than 12 months for the recession to actually begin. That was the average for the last 7 recessions. And for the past recession, the really big one that ended a decade ago, the yield curve actually first inverted 23 months earlier, almost 2 years earlier. This time, it could be sooner, it could be longer, or maybe it will not happen at all. But the point is that the recession usually doesn't start right away.
So you're saying you can't identify a relationship between the yield curve and a recession. So isn't it possible that your magical recession predictor is actually just a series of coincidences?
Again, yes. I don't like your tude, but you've got a good point. It's definitely possible that it's all just a big coincidence. Remember, the idea here is not that the yield curve causes a recession. The theory is that the yield curve reflects what investors from around the world think about the U.S. economy, the investors who buy U.S. treasuries.
And the same ones who probably helped fake the moon landing.
Where is this going?
Anyway, sorry. Okay, so U.S. treasuries are the safest financial asset you can buy. They are what you buy if you think the economy is not going to do well, if you just want a safe place to keep your money, because you know the U.S. government is good for the interest payments that it promises.
But when everyone wants to buy treasuries at the same time, then the government doesn't need to offer a high interest rate on treasuries for people to buy them. So those long-term rates go down. And here's the important point. The reason that long-term rates can fall even below short-term rates is that investors are rushing to lock in the long-term rates that are available right this moment. Because if they waited and the economy got worse, the rates would be even lower in the future.
But that is just a theory. And just because it's held true for the past 6 decades and 7 recessions does not mean that it can't be untrue in the future. Someday the yield curve might invert and we might not see a recession for years. That could happen.
Okay, so now you're saying the yield curve might be wrong, but you're not even going to tell me why it might be wrong?
Yes, that's right.
The show's over. Thank you.
Just take our word for it. That's all you need to know. So, okay, Darius, there are a few possible reasons why the inverted yield curve might not actually be signaling a recession this time, why this time might be different. So first of all, the Federal Reserve, the country's central bank, bought a ton of long-term treasuries as part of its attempt to stimulate the economy after the great financial crisis, the Great Recession. So that could actually be distorting the shape of the yield curve right now because the Fed represents an additional buyer of treasuries. It could be throwing off the system.
And another possibility is simply that policymakers are aware that an inverted yield curve has predicted the last 7 recessions, and so they might change how they manage the economy in response. For example, some members of the Federal Reserve, which manages interest rates, have even brought up the yield curve inversion as a reason to at least be worried about where the economy is headed. So if policymakers are more responsive to the signal being sent by the inverted yield curve, they might avoid the recession by stimulating the economy more. So, yes, the yield curve signal for a recession could turn out to be wrong.
Could be the exception that proves the rule.
Sarcastic Darius and Sassy Stacy could have a point. Part of what makes the yield curve so fascinating is that very mystery, right? We've called the yield curve a kind of crowdsourced crystal ball for the U.S. economy, and it has an astonishing track record. But that doesn't make it infallible. You should still be watching other indicators. And for that, I've got a podcast to recommend.
What podcast? The Indicator?
I was actually going to leave it as like a blank. Like if you end it.
Solid plug. Shameless.
It's true. That is a little shameless. I kind of like it.
This episode of The Indicator was fact-checked and produced by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR.